I think that in business, there's an art of what I would call amplifying trust. What we're essentially doing is we're building people's dreams, the things that they've thought about and have always wanted. I really feel by doing this podcast, people will be able to listen, understand, learn possibly, and I want to build as many people's dreams as I can.
Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the podcast, My Miracle Week. My name is Devita and I'm your host. I'm sitting here today with Tim Cutting, who is our pond consultant.
That's me.
How are you today, Tim?
I'm very good, thank you. It's Friday. It's sunny outside.
Yeah. You're in a good mood today then?
I'm in a good mood today, yes. I like Fridays.
That's good.
Yes. Mondays is probably my least favourite day because we've got the whole week to plan and obviously we've had a nice weekend at home and I guess it's quite commonplace, isn't it, for Mondays to be the start of the week. But yeah, I like Fridays. Fridays is a good day. I like Thursdays as well.
Why do you like Thursdays?
Because I like looking forward to Friday.
Okay. But then on Monday, you can also look forward to Friday.
Well, true. But it's 4 days between Monday and Friday. But yeah. But I'm out next week. I'm out surveying Monday and Tuesday, so I don't get an office day Monday.
Yeah. So. Are you happy about that?
Yeah. I like being out. I like to be out meeting clients. Office days are a bit more structured.
Yeah.
So we have meetings.
Lots of meetings.
Yeah.
Lots of coffee.
Lots of coffee. And you're in a captive environment, aren't you? In an office.
Yeah.
I like being out in the car, going to sites, travelling around. Yeah. I'm an outdoor person.
Yeah.
So, but that's not to say I don't enjoy the office. I mean, we have a great group of people. Mm-hmm. And I've been here 3 years now, so a lot of those people are quite good friends.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have a catch up. And
We're very family based in the office, aren't we?
Yes. Yes. Family orientated and like-minded people.
Yes.
So, which is good.
That's good. So hopefully the listeners have been looking forward to listening to what you have to say.
Well, after Michael, I suspect there will be.
Yeah, yes. Definitely. Michael tends to go on a little bit, doesn't he?
Yes, he likes the sound of his own voice.
Yeah.
He's very confident.
And that's not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing. No. He's also 20 years younger than I.
Yeah.
So possibly his views are a bit different. But he's very energetic, very positive.
Are you when you want to be.
Which is me. But I guess that's there's a difference there, you see. He's, 37. I'm 58.
Yeah.
As you get older, you become, I wouldn't say grumpier, but you...
Yeah. I'm laughing because I've seen Grumpy Tim.
Yeah.
And it's not enjoyable.
You get a bit more set in your ways, don't you?
Yeah.
And I guess when you're younger, you're more adaptable and more used to changes. And maybe when you're earlier in your career, you're wanting things to change and happy to take on you get affected by different ways, don't you?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say more laid back, but I like a fairly simple, structured existence.
You like routine, don't you?
I like routine. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
I do like routine.
And structure, which is why Tim's made me list what I'm going to talk about today, which I don't normally do.
Yes. Yes. I have done 30 seconds prep.
Okay. That's good. Yes. So I'll start off then. What are you working on at the moment?
So we did 2 surveys last week, which were very similar. They were existing ponds where the liner was failing and the client was losing water and both had fish. So we're trying to come up with a plan to reline or readapt the pond to get the water level right, to get the water quality better and aesthetically make them look better. I think one is going to have to be relined, but one possibly won't have to be. We can maybe make some changes around the pond, which is a refreshing change because for the last couple of years, we've had a lot more focus on the swim pond side of the business. So it's nice to go back to our core business, which is fish ponds and koi ponds and traditional ponds.
So
that's what I've been working on.
It's good to have a variety.
Yeah. And we have got 2 swim pond projects on the go at the moment, one down in the south and one in Wales. The one in Wales starts on Monday. So one's a swim pond conversion from a swimming pool, which is exciting.
And that's the one that's possibly going to be available for open days, isn't it?
Yes. So the client's got an Airbnb and they're renovating the property. It's going to be for 20, a family of 20 or groups of people. And then the swimming pool was old and in ruin, so we're converting it to a swimming pond so the guests can use it. And the client's quite keen for us to do some collaboration together on marketing to, I guess, to push their Airbnb and also the fact that they've got a unique setting with a swim pond. So, yeah, it's quite exciting. And I guess when we built it, we'd be able to take public to that swim pond and say, you know, here's the swim pond. You can rent the property. And if you do in the summer, you can use the swim pond.
Yeah, test it out before you get your own.
Test it out.
Tell us a little bit about your role then and what the clients can expect from you.
So my role is a pond consultant. I guess I'm an interface for the company between the inquiry, somebody ringing up and wanting to engage with the company, and me going to site to be able to get the information to take to our pricing department. So yeah, I try and avoid the sales word. I am a salesperson and I'm here to deliver a sales process to the company. But I do see my role as more of a consultant. So I do technical surveys on site, offer advice to the client. I spent 25 years landscaping and I've been in civil and construction. So outside of the pond industry, I have a really good knowledge of groundwork and what's right or wrong. I'm an on-site advisory person, I guess, for the client.
Yeah.
That's the bit I enjoy the most.
Yeah. Getting to know different people.
Yeah. Yeah, we meet a wide selection of people. I guess the dynamics, the audience tends to be my sort of age group. It's unusual to meet a lot younger. I'm meeting like-minded people at a similar age. And I guess my age is helpful in that respect.
Yeah.
I think I used to sell computer software 30 years ago in my 20s. And one of the problems I had was going to sites to IT directors who would be, you know, maybe 30 years older than me. And it was very hard to have a good interaction.
Yeah.
Building
the trust is a bit hard.
Yeah. You're on a back foot straight away because you've got to convince them you're knowledgeable and know what you're talking about. It does offer a massive advantage when you're later in your career. I've been working for 40 years, so I've seen and done a lot of things.
Yeah.
So
you've got a lot of knowledge and experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there anything the clients can do to make the process easier from when you're going to visit them?
Well, most of the time, Tori will have asked for a video or pictures of the site. Sometimes that doesn't happen, so I have to go to site and absorb more information initially. Something that's been useful is the location of the site, Three Little Words app.
Yeah.
Sometimes we know where a property is, but you don't know where the access is to the property. There might be a gate or a certain way to get to the property. Some of our properties might have, you know, 50 acres or 10 acres, and sometimes it's hard to work. So the app, Three Little Words, is it called Three Little Words?
I think so.
Yeah, or What Three Words?
What Three Words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's three names and it gets you to the property. It's a meter accurate. But we did have a funny story. The lady who told us to arrive on site, she said, you know where my site is? It's concrete gateposts. And we said, oh, great. That's really useful. Thank you. So I typed concrete gateposts into the app. And it took me to somewhere in America.
And didn't physically take you there, but...
No, but it wanted me to. So when I got to site, I explained to the lady, I said, concrete gateposts. I said, it doesn't seem to take me to this location. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, on the app. She said, what app? I said, Three Little Words. And I showed her the app. And she found it quite funny. So the entrance to her house, there were concrete gateposts, and that was her reference. So...
Miscommunication.
A little bit of miscommunication, yeah. But she was...
You got there.
We got there, yeah.
That's good. Arrived in one piece.
Yes.
That's the main thing.
Have you seen the latest swim ponds we have completed? see the crystal clear water, habitat for wildlife, an award-winning project. Visit our social platforms at Ponds by Michael Wheat.
What about when you're not out on site? What can you be found doing? What are your hobbies?
Okay. So I'm quite an active person. I like the gym. I go 5 or 6 times a week. I like the physical aspect and also the way it changes you mentally. It flushes out thoughts and sort of resets you for the evening. So I enjoy that. I like sports. I go to watch Leicester Tigers at home. I go with my lad. He's 18. I like watching football. I like movies. I'm not much into serials on TV, and I don't watch any Coronation Street. I bet that's not even on anymore, is it?
I have no idea. I've never watched it.
No, but all those type of...
Yeah,
Crossroads, that's the one that's not on anymore. That's from a long time ago.
I don't think I've ever heard about him.
Benny was on that. I don't watch very much on TV that's repetitive. I like documentaries and I love wildlife programmes. I really like Attenborough stuff. And I like Countryfile, actually. It's probably my favouritest programme in the week.
Okay.
Yeah, I really like Countryfile. I guess I'm an outdoor person and I like, you know, TV that's showing the outdoors.
Yeah. So I suppose it's always good to learn from as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, there was, I think it was this weekend, Attenborough was talking about woods. He was talking about the tree roots in old established woodland have fungal growth through the roots, and the trees talk to each other through the fungal growth.
Wow.
I'd never heard of that before. It was spellbinding. Yeah, really. And I hope he does more. I'd like to do a bit more research on that, actually.
Yeah.
It's like
that's interesting.
The film Avatar had a similar thing, that magical
with the
tree.
Roots, yeah.
And that may be spawned from that. Spawned. Do you see that? Mushrooms spawned. Where's that fish?
Didumch.
You can take that bit out if you want.
No, I'll keep it in.
Okay.
Cool. So are you able to tell us what the company's working on this week?
Well, from perspective of sales or from operations?
Both, I guess.
Yeah, so operations, we're installing a swim pond down near Honiton in the south of England. I won't mention any names, but the lady had a swim pond previously and in Lincoln, and she's now having one installed at a new house. But she's wanting to have a planting plan adapted so that when she's swimming in the pond, she can be very private.
Yeah.
For reasons I might not mention on air, but she doesn't apparently wear very much. So, we're installing that. We've dug it out. It's dug out now, and we're starting on the install as we speak.
It's very exciting, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And that pond is mirrored on the pond she had previously. It's very natural, lots of planting, a grass edge, a wooden stepping system in. And the pictures we're working on that were from her previous pond, one of them is her swimming in the pond with snow and ice. She's actually swimming in the pond and it's middle of the winter.
No.
So she used to go in every single day.
I don't think I'd be able to do that.
No. No, I know I wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah. Mainly because I can't swim.
Okay. You were going to have lessons, weren't you?
I was, yeah. Still plan on doing it at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe when it gets a bit warmer.
Your mum and dad needed to throw you in when you were 6 months old. That's how they teach, don't they?
Is it?
Yeah.
All right.
It's the best way. You throw a baby in the water and it just comes to the surface and swims.
All right.
Apparently, yeah.
I don't know if I'd be brave enough to do that.
No.
It's good to know, though. Is that how you taught your kids how to swim?
No, we paid for lessons.
Right.
And then we're a bit older. I didn't actually know that at the time, that you could throw a child in it as a baby. But I think in some European countries, it's exactly, I think Germany and Switzerland, it's exactly what they do.
I might have to Google that.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
We do have an emailed in question as well. So this is from Chloe from Bath. How do I know if my project is feasible before committing?
Okay, so that process is normally handled by Tori. So when the inquiries come in, Tori will spend a lot of time having phone conversations and then looking at videos and pictures. I would say she normally handles 80% of that herself. Occasionally she'll escalate it and ask me to do a Zoom call with the client. Mm-hmm. But I guess the important thing is before the client pays the design fee and engages with us, the project has to be feasible and feasible at a cost where the cost expectation is correct for the client.
Yeah.
Because there's two things. It could be feasible, but it could cost 200K. The client wants to spend 50K. So it has to be doable, feasible, at a cost that's
right for the client.
Right for the client, yeah. And that's what Tori's role is, really. She does something called anchoring. And that isn't a sales term. That's a way of trying to give a client an idea of cost before they've engaged with us. So they present a pond or a requirement, and we can give them a sort of a ballpark feel for how much that project might cost.
Yeah. And then based on that, they can.
And then they can decide forward. To go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's taken, actually, the anchoring has got better and better. Tori's been with us 5 years. I've been here 3 years. Obviously, Michael's run the business for over 10 years. So the anchoring gets looked at and improved continuously, because there's just no point in engaging with a client if the anchoring's wrong. It's actually difficult for me because I go to site, look at a project, and if we go back with a cost that's 50% higher than that anchor, then it becomes uncomfortable for the client and for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And ultimately, we want to make it work for the client, don't we? We want to give them a cost that they are comfortable with.
Yeah. And ignoring cost, sometimes a project isn't feasible. Sometimes I look at a situation or a video and it doesn't suit the application of a butyl liner. Occasionally we will walk away if it's not a suitable situation.
Yeah. Can you give us an example of one that's not been suitable?
If I think back in time, there's occasionally we've had a requirement from a client for a very large, say, wildlife pond where they want to have maybe ducks and they've got roaming deer or wildfowl or wild pigs or horses. Obviously, then an artificial creation of a pond means a rubber liner in the ground. And if you're attracting wildlife into that pond, you've got to be very careful to protect that liner. You can protect the liner in various ways and you can guard the pond, but sometimes it just doesn't work in certain scenarios. I mean, a very large wildlife pond often can be in an environment where you've got a lot of groundwater. So what people will see is they'll see a very boggy field and it might have water in the winter and dry out in the summer, and they think maybe that's an ideal place to have a pond. But of course, the existing water table and the existing water saturation in the area might actually work against the whole process of putting a rubber liner in.
Yeah, because that can make the liner lift.
That can make the liner lift. So we can relieve that. There are ways of solving it. But if it's in a dip in the lowest part of the ground, then leaving that becomes expensive.
Yeah.
So, but we're saying that we have now taken on not new to the marketplace, but a little bit newer to us, is a clay liner system where we put a clay liner in. Mm-hmm. And that actually solves some of those issues straight away, because the clay liner sits in the ground and has cover soil on top, has a foot of cover soil, and you can put that in a wet area, in a wet environment, and create a natural looking pond. And it's protected from wildlife because it's the actual lining process is much deeper in the ground.
Yeah.
So the issues we've had previously where we maybe thought this isn't an application for a butyl liner, it possibly suits the clay liner. Mm-hmm. And that's something now we're bringing to the marketplace.
Yeah. So. Exciting times.
Yeah.
I do also have a question from Michael.
Okay.
Himself.
Okay.
He's asked, what part of the whole process gets you most excited and why?
I guess the first site visit is meeting the client, understanding what they want to achieve, doing my survey, and then there's a real sense of achievement when I get in the car and I've done that survey.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that. They're definitely the better days. Made better when the weather's good.
Mm-hmm.
I went yesterday to the survey in Derbyshire and it was blue sky, 12 degrees, and it was just a lovely day. I was in a lovely setting. And I think just getting that relationship with the client, getting the level of trust up, and doing a detailed survey. Yeah, and that's definitely the bit I enjoy the most of that process. I guess the second next stage, which is enjoyable, is when towards the end of the process, the client wants to go ahead.
Yeah. It just builds more excitement, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But in terms of my own satisfaction, the success in making a sale is great. But in terms of just general enjoyment, I just like being on site. I like surveying and doing all. I'm a detailed person, so I like all that detail. But you know, I come back with rafts of notes and pictures
and information.
And,
yes.
Yeah.
Nothing gets missed with Tim.
It doesn't. Very occasionally, maybe. Right. And Michael will pick me up on that, won't he? But yeah.
And we've obviously improved the process as well over the years. And
yeah, it's changed. I think the first 2 years it changed every few weeks. And then we hit COVID and we had to change it again. It's a bit more stable now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we tweak it occasionally.
I think when you joined, you worked a lot on changing the process, refining the process with Michael, didn't you?
Yes. Well, of course, when I joined the company, Michael was doing... he was running operations. He was selling, running the business financially. So he had three hats on.
Yeah.
And that makes it very difficult for one person. So I've taken away that customer-facing sales consultancy side, and I've been able to bring my experiences from other businesses. And we've adapted and changed. And it will carry on changing.
It will.
You know, it's an organic process, isn't it?
Yeah. There's always room for improvement.
There is, yeah.
Just one more question for you then. What is a common myth about your job or field of expertise?
Okay, that's a good question. I've probably covered it a little bit before. When I joined this company, the role was advertised as a sales consultant, salesperson. And I remember sitting with Michael at the very beginning saying, I don't really want to have a title that's got the word sales in the role because I see myself as a consultant. So when I go to site, I'm working on behalf of the company and the client. I sit in the middle.
Yeah.
So I'm not there to maximize how much revenue. I'm not wanting to create a bigger job. I just want what we do to be right and to solve the issues the client's got or create a dream swim pond. So and I do genuinely really believe that. I'm working on behalf of the client and but also I'm the customer-facing part of the company. And obviously we do want to make sales, but they have to be right for both parties.
Yeah.
It has to work. So
it's building that relationship, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I worked for a little while, a long while ago. I was selling photocopiers when I was about 20, and that was awful. That was the worst aspect of selling, cold calling, knocking on doors, all just competitive and financial selling and
Yeah, but we don't do that here.
No, but it was a good, I'm glad I did it because it does teach you some good skills.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good to have done that type of selling, but this type of selling we do here is very different. It's a consultancy type of sale. So, and I enjoy it. I genuinely enjoy that part of the job.
Yeah. And you like to collaborate with the clients as well, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
So when it comes to building their job, you want them to have input on what it's going to look like.
And sometimes things have to change slightly. I guess being adaptable as well. Sometimes you can plan a job and come up with detailed drawings and renders and sketches and deliver that to the client. And actually when you start, sometimes things have to change slightly.
Yeah.
That's important, isn't it?
It is.
To have the flexibility.
Yeah. And we're big on that. We are very flexible.
Yeah, we don't resist change, do we? We sort of welcome it in if necessary. But as long as it doesn't start to push costs up for us or the client, because any costs that are inflated have to go back to client. So we have to be careful, I guess, to manage that. Maybe look for alternative ways of doing things or better ways of doing things.
We'll always find a solution.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we'll finish off there. Do you have any jokes you can tell us? Because I know you're very good with your jokes.
Jokes? I didn't know you could ask me for a joke.
I wanted to get you on the spot.
Did you?
Yeah.
I have got one joke, but I don't think I could probably tell that on a public airing. That's my dyslexic atheist.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do that one, can I?
No.
So I suppose I'll have to resort to my standard joke, which is, what's the fastest cake in the world?
Oh, I don't know. What is the fastest cake in the world?
Scone.
I do have to say that is one of my favourite jokes it's that you've joke, ever told me. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the only one I remember. And the dyslexic atheist one, but we won't.
Yeah, we won't go there. We won't go with that one.
No.
Maybe if you meet Tim, you can ask him about that one.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's quite a complicated joke, and I do actually remember it most of the time. But yeah, if you want to ask me on site, I'll certainly make you laugh or not.
Brilliant. Well, if anyone has any questions, please email us at mw@michaelwheat.co.uk or find us on social media, and also keep a lookout for our videos on our YouTube channel. Search Ponds by Michael Wheat on any of these platforms and get in touch. Our next episode will most likely be, what are the different types of swimming pond? And that will probably be with Michael again. So you'll get to hear his voice. Thank you for listening, and I hope you've all enjoyed meeting Tim. Have a good weekend and take care.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.